Would you turn to Proverbs 29, please? Proverbs 29. In verse 18. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together, please. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraints. And I want to emphasize on this. Where there is no revelation, people cast off the restraints of the flesh. But happier, what we say, joyful is he who keeps the law. Again, where there is no revelation, the restraints of the flesh are removed. Amen. And revelation is associated with revealing of the eternal, something eternal. God is revealing something. And what happens with revelation, it opens the door to reality. So when revelation comes, it opens the door to reality. In other words, real. Reality is associated with the things that are truly real. Remember, the things that you see are temporary, but the things you don't see are eternal. So reality is the truth of the unseen, eternal. So there's something very important to comprehend here, because reality is then the fruit of revelation. Amen? Reality is the what? Fruit of revelation. And what happens is it brings a message of the eternal. And when this reality of the fruit of revelation, as it brings a message from the eternal, it comes with understanding of where the message came from. Not what it came from, but whom it came from. I want to say this again. When a message comes, in other words, when revelation comes, because revelation opens the door to reality. And again, reality is the fruit of revelation. It is the message of the eternal realm that God is sending. And it's coming with an understanding of whom sent it. Is everybody with me? In other words, it's just like, oh, I got revelation. It's the reality is that who it came from. Amen? And when we respond to that, is everybody with me? So you've got revelation that opens the door to reality that releases to us. When we receive that, when we realize, when we respond to this, because it's not just the revelation of a message, but it's the reality of who it came from. We respond to this in joy. Is everybody with me? You respond in joy because you know that your Father, the King of Glory, is making contact with you. Is everybody okay? Now, so the response is joy. That means that joy is the fruit of reality. Is everybody with me? Joy is the fruit of reality. And again, reality is the fruit of revelation. And, you know, it's associated with the unseen releasing something to me and you. So when you get revelation, which revelations brings you to an open door of reality, because reality is associated with eternal truth. When you get it, you respond, and you respond with joy. Because joy is the fruit of reality. So when people are not joyful, it's because they haven't had revelation. Or the devil is, they got revelation, but before the door of reality could open, the devil stole it. Because he doesn't want you to walk in joy. Is everybody with me? Praise God. And we know that in this connection of response, we know that Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, is making contact with you. And when you know that he's making contact with you, you respond with joy. Amen? Praise God. Go to John 15. The message is called Reality of Joy. One of the things the Lord has put on my heart is my people are not walking in reality. They're not walking in reality. They're still walking in the natural. They say things, they do things, but they're not walking in reality. Walking in reality is walking in the truth of the unseen. You're associating with the eternal. And a message from your Father, he's trying to make contact with you. And when you finally get a slap in the back of the head and say, wake up, this is a revelation and a door is open in reality, I got something for you. He's waiting for you to respond with joy, then he knows you got it. Oh, glory. John 15, is everybody okay? And verse 5. Revelation 15:5. I mean, hallelujah. John 15:5. Woohoo! Let's read it. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much what? Fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you what? Bear much fruit, so you will be my what? My disciples. Now watch this. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his. These things I have spoken to you, that my what? Joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So what fruit is he looking for? Joy. He said that you may bear much fruit. In other words, that you may bear much fruit of joy. Why? Because if you're bearing fruit of joy, he knows you receive contact. Joy is the response of reality. That means you know that your dad just sent something from the throne room of God, and however he did it. You know, so many times we look at something and go, oh yeah, I got revelation on that. That's cool. But lose sight. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, and Peter said, you are the Christ. And Jesus said, that's right. And no man or flesh and blood has spoken this to you, but my Father in heaven. See, Peter didn't realize that. He just said, you are the Christ. Does everybody understand that? Jesus revealed to him that the Father in heaven brought it to him. Why? Because he's the connection between the Father in this realm. No man comes to the Father except for through Jesus. So Jesus had to tell him. That's why he came. So that he can bring revelation to people and turn them to the Father. Because that's how it's always going to be. Praise God. So we're to bear fruit of joy, the fruit of reality. And of course, reality is truth eternal, isn't it? So we see here that if it's truth eternal, it's also known as the Spirit of Truth. That's why Jesus left us. Now listen, he left us the Holy Spirit, who is the truth, right? Think about this for a second. So if the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, he is the Spirit of Reality. Amen? He is the Spirit of Reality. He makes it real. He carries eternal truths. The whole thing is when we respond to the reality that we know that Father just sent a message to us, we respond with joy. We get joyful. Oh, wow. Man, it was Dad. I know the Lord did that for me. When a miracle happens, when deliverance happens, when something happens, we rejoice in it because it's a response to eternal truth, reality, that it came from your Father. Go to Psalm 118. See, the world is looking to be happy because they're looking from things from the outside. Joy is inside. In fact, the world really can't be happy. It's temporary. Because they get no revelation from heaven. They get revelation from hell. But they don't respond to it. Well, actually, they respond to it and don't know it. Because many people are miserable. They walk in fear. What do you think fear is? It's a response to hell. It's a response to darkness. Fear. The works of the flesh are a response to the powers of darkness. Disobedience is a response to darkness. All of these things are a response. There's things that are a response to the King of Glory. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Amen. And in Psalm 118 and verse 23, it says, "This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will what? Rejoice and be what? Glad in it." In other words, what's the revelation? The revelation is the area that, oh, okay, this is the word of God, which is bringing revelation. It's saying that this is the day the Lord has made. In other words, all revelation opens the door to reality. Once reality is established, I am able to respond with joy because it is, when I know that this is the day the Lord has made. See, you may say it daily, but never get a reality on it. Yeah, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Just another stinking day. No, but when you realize that your Father in heaven has made this day for you, you can rejoice and be glad in it. That is the response of the revelation that opens the door to reality because you know it came from your dad. The Creator of all things is paying attention to you and trying to make contact with you. And there's response. Is joy. Galatians chapter 5. That's why people are miserable. They're still trying to do it in their own strength. They still, you know, people run. So many people run instead of fighting for the presence of God. They run. Man, they'll fight for work. They'll fight for everything else. And you know what? Because there is no revelation, the restraints of the flesh are removed, so they're walking in the flesh. Amen? And they have no idea. And they may call themselves a Spirit-filled Christian, but a Spirit-filled Christian can still walk in the flesh because if you're not cooperating with the Spirit, you're in the flesh. And I can't really say you're filled. Because if you're filled, you're in joy. You're in joy. Why? Because the presence of God is there. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is what? No law. Okay, so here are fruits of the Spirit. Why? Because these fruits are the joy, which is the acknowledgement, the response to reality. You will have joy, and then there's peace. Why? Because now it's bringing peace. Now you're willing to long suffer because you know you're not doing it for you. You're doing it with Him. It says in all of these things now, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the fruit of the Spirit is joy. It is the expression of the presence of God. Joy. Amen. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And verse 7. Let's speak it out together. I will what? Bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So, he has... Revelation has opened a door to reality. Reality, in walking in reality, the Lord is always before you. He's always there. You could touch him. He's always there. He's always right here before you. And you're responding in joy because he's right here. Now look what he says. He says, listen, I will bless the Lord who's given me counsel. So he knew that God Almighty connected with him. He received something, didn't he? He said, the Lord is always before me. Why? Because revelation opened a door to reality. Reality brought to him the understanding that God Almighty is communicating with him. He responded with joy. And in this, he says now, verse 9, therefore my heart is what? Glad. Here's his response. And my glory, what? Rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, or hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of what? Life. And in your presence is what? Fullness of what? See, he got reality on this. Look at the revelation brought. The revelation brought an open door to reality, the eternal truth, that God was speaking to him. He spoke to him. He revealed something to him. And he gave him counsel. He responded with joy, gladness. He rejoiced over it. He sensed that the Lord was before him now, always before him. See, what happens with individuals, he says, you will show me the path of life in your presence as fullness of joy, and at your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. Now listen, that means he knows that God has got something for him all the time. He will not lack because he always has him before him because he's walking in revelation. He's walking in an area where reality, the eternal truth, is real to him. It's real. God is real. His voice is real. His presence is real. His will is real. His desire for him is real. His love for him is real. Everything is real to him. And this is an area and a state of being that you and I must walk in. It is called a born-again state where everything of God is real. And it's just an arm stretch away. Right there, right in front of you. His presence, his love, his compassion, his desires for you, his protection, his provision, everything. It's, why? Because it says his, and in his right hand is what? Treasures. That means provision. But understand, until we reach this place, we have a long distance relationship with the Lord. And that's what the enemy's always trying to do, is separate you in the area of relationship. Where God always feels to an individual a distance away because they rely on their feeling, and that's a lie. If we live and have our being in him, then he's not too far away. But he does separate himself from sin. Amen. He does separate himself. So there may be a distance if there's unconfessed sin. Go to Isaiah 61. The path of life presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures, provision. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Come on, say it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for what? Mourning, so that they might get revelation that will open a door to reality, that they might understand or respond in joy that their Father, God Almighty, the Creator of not only universe, but of all things that were, are, and ever will be, made contact with you. And the response is, hallelujah, joy. The garment of what? Praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called what? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The oil of joy. Joy, the response when contact is made between you and the eternal one of all truth. So everybody got it? Philippians. So let me ask you this. What kind of response is worry? Hello. How about unbelief? Oh, man, the devil ain't stupid, you know. Philippians 4:4. Is everybody there? So what is joy? It's the response to what? The eternal one of all truth. Amen? Because why? Revelation came. Open the door to reality. Reality means real, making something real. See, for too many believers, God really isn't real. I know that sounds strange. They believe that God is, but he's not real to them. There's a long distance. They believe because they read or somebody tells them. But that's why it's important that you and I have revelation. Because the more revelation you have, the more real he is. Amen? And the more real he is, the more joyful you are. So when he is real in every area of your life, you are joyful. Has everybody got it? You're not miserable. You're joyful. It's when the enemy comes to steal revelation from you that you become heavy, oppressed, because he has stolen revelation. And what he's stolen is the revelation that God is real. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Philippians 4:4, what does it say? Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say what? Rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is what? He's at what? He's in front of you, just like David said. Because he's real. He's right there. He's at hand. See, so you're rejoicing because he's at hand. He's right there. Be anxious for nothing. Why? Because that will move you out of position. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, he's right there. Hey, Dad. I got to talk to you about something. Amen? Because he's real. In fact, he's sitting right next to you. It says, and the peace of God, because you know he's there with you, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So you'll be guided in every area. Again, the reality that he's with you is so important. You will always respond in joy when contact is made. And he's always trying to make contact with you. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord because he's at hand. Hallelujah. Romans 14. That's why it's called reality of joy. It is the fruit of reality. So when somebody is miserable, you know that there's not been contact made. You know, they're all caught up in themselves. We're all me. They sound like an alien. And you know, an alien's nothing but a demon. It's all about me. Romans 14:16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. You know how many people just get joyful over eating and drinking? But it really isn't joy. Man, that was good. Oh, I am stuffed. Oh, you feel really good now. I couldn't eat another thing. In fact, you reject it. I don't want any more. See, but when the presence of God comes, you want more because it brings joy. See, you can only eat so much food. It can only taste so good. Then it turns, yuck. You eat enough pizza, you're like, man, I can't eat another. You look at it, no, I'll get sick if I look at that. Somebody will call you up and say, let's go get pizza. Oh, God. Because you're so full of the things of the natural that it doesn't bring joy. It brings temporary. And if you overdo it, it brings sickness. Amen? But with the presence of God, you can never overdo it. Amen? You can never. It just brings more joy until you laugh yourself to death. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that brings contact. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. The kingdom of God. Go to Matthew 25. Reality of joy. Matthew 25. And where does joy come from? God. It comes from the Lord. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So you're responding with joy when reality comes because contact has been made. My dad loves me. Ah, he loves me. He revealed something to me. He showed me. I saw it. I know who that came from. You know, when Kate and I were praying whether we should get married or not, we asked for a sign from the Lord. And we used to go to this bar and eat crab legs all the time. So she said, let's go eat crab legs. And there was only one place I knew to get them. And I said, I ain't going there. So we went out and ate Chinese. And we prayed again, Lord, show us if you want us to get married. Other than that, we're going our separate ways. We came home about 9 o'clock, 9:30. Somebody knocked on our door. I'm telling you. And this woman hit a box. We said, hello. I introduced her to Kate and so forth. She said, listen, I had something in my freezer I was just led to bring over here. Open it up. It was crab legs frozen. A box of them. We looked at each other. Passed out. No. We responded with joy. Not because we were getting married. Because God spoke to us. Then we responded with joy. Oh, that's for us. But the first joy was that the Lord spoke to us. Has everybody got it? The joy was, whoa, thank you. Then we said, oh, thank you. But thank you, Lord. All right, let's do it. And we did it. Verse 19, Matthew 25. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. He said, and the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. What was he saying? Enter into the presence of God of eternity. Why? Because joy comes from the throne room of God. Does everybody got it? And when contact is made, you respond with joy. Because it's from the throne room of God. It's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Enter into the joy of your Lord. Kingdom presence is joy. Proverbs 17, verse 21. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. But a merry heart does good like what? Medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. So to be joyful is medicine, isn't it? In other words, that is medicine from God Almighty to bring healing to your body. You know, you can laugh yourself to health. Amen? That's why people that are more miserable are more sick. Because they're not responding with joy from the throne room of God. In other words, a merry heart is good like medicine, not, you know, people are oppressed and depressed and possessed and so forth. But in that, because the presence of darkness is over more than the presence of God. So when an individual responds with things coming out of their mouth, because out of the heart reveals, the mouth, out of the mouth reveals the heart, and the heart is the character of your spirit. So in this, you'll know whether you've been contaminated or not. Amen? If you've been contaminated, you're miserable. You're not even responding, you're reacting. Because when you respond to the things of the spirit. When you react to the things of the flesh, because it's associated with the old. Glory. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now, this is not a calculation of how this is done. You just go do it. You go to him, Lord, grant me revelation. Make yourself real to me that I may walk in the joy of the Lord. It's real simple. That's something that should be a part of your prayer every day. Lord, grant me revelation. Make yourself real to me that I may walk in the joy of the Lord. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Is everybody there? Are you ready for this now? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience is endurance. So he says, count it all joy. Why? Because who's allowing the trial? See, but people aren't acknowledging that. That trial might be coming from the devil, but who's allowing it? If you're walking in divine order, the devil can't touch you. But it doesn't mean that God isn't going to bring you through a trial. Why? Because that's how you learn. You learn through your sufferings. You learn through your trials. You will not walk on this planet without a trial. And I'm going to tell you something. You go from one trial to another to another to another. When you're coming out of one, you're getting in another. It doesn't stop. Because that's how we learn. So he says, count it all joy. Well, don't you think that if you can begin to realize that joy is a response of contact with God, that you can do everything in joy then? Well, I lost my job. Well, praise God. Just as long as you didn't lose it because you did something stupid. Amen? I always call, if you lose your job, you got promoted. Praise God. As long as you didn't do it in an unrighteous manner. In verse 4, but let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and complete, doing what? Lacking nothing. In other words, you're counting all trials as joy. Why? Because God's going to make way. What? He's right in front of you. There's pleasures in his right hand. He's ready. His provision is ready to be released at any time. But what happens is the enemy causes us to lose focus. Then we start doing it in our own strength. And then we get frustrated. We get miserable. We get offended. Everything else. Because we're in the flesh. Praying in tongues, but in the flesh. Hello. People praying in tongues in the flesh. Count it all joy when you go through trials. Why? Because you're going to go. It didn't say if, it says when. So you're going to go in it, right? Oh, hallelujah. So you can be perfected and lack nothing. Why? If you're responding with joy, you know that you've made contact, and God is going to provide for you in everything. It just doesn't matter. Deuteronomy 28. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that's vitally important is that there may be things that you don't want to do, but it doesn't mean you have to be miserable in doing it. You can still do it in joy, no matter what. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47. Are you ready for this? Come on, let's all speak this. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Because you did not serve the Lord with your God with what? Joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Therefore you shall serve your enemies. Oh. Whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Hello? Because you did not serve the Lord your God in joy and gladness, you will serve your enemy. So you need to make contact, don't you? You know, if this becomes a reality to you, you will seek until contact is made. And then you will respond with joy. Hello. It is dangerous not to serve the Lord with joy and gladness. You know, so many times we lose sight what God has done for us. We lose sight where we came from. We lose sight where we're headed. We lose sight because we get caught up in what we're doing now. And we lose sight of his goodness and of his love. and how he suffered for each and every one of us, and how he had to reap from us, and how others are still reaping from the things that we've done. Amen. Jeremiah 15:15. Let's speak this together. Jeremiah 15:15. Oh Lord, you know, remember me in what? Visit me. And take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found, and I what? I ate them. And your word was to me the what? Joy and rejoicing of my heart. In other words, was contact made? Yes. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So, something happened, didn't it? He said that he ate his word. In other words, there was a message release, revelation, a reality come, an open. And because of that, he accepted it. And he said, man, you know my name. Obviously, he heard the Lord call his name. And man, he responded with joy. Because contact from the eternal into this realm to his child. It's always a response of joy. Amen. 1 Peter 4. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And in his presence is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Why is it my strength? Because he's real. And what that tells me then, because the joy of the Lord is my strength, that he's real, so nothing matters. That means the restraints on the flesh that it wants to do things, but the joy of the Lord is my strength to restrain my flesh. Amen. The restraints are doubled. Instead of one nail, two. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So the restraints are put on the flesh so it doesn't do what it desires. So everybody got this? Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received the gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But what? Rejoice. To the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when he is glorified, when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Why? Because you partook of some of the same sufferings he did. Go to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Let's speak it starting at verse 1. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you what? Healed me. Whoa, you think that person would be joyful? Yeah. Contact was made, wasn't it? O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In other words, you got another opportunity to make contact every morning. Third John. In this reality check, it's about checking whether he's real to you. More real. See, he must become more and more real to you. More and more real. The more real he is, the more joyful you are. The less real he is to you, you are a roller coaster. He's real today, he's not tomorrow. He's dead today. Because the area is still attached to emotion, not truth. When it's released from emotion and only established by truth, because reality is eternal truth, then joy maintains. But if it's negotiated by feeling, you'll be a roller coaster. Is everybody okay? Third John. Is everybody there? And verse 2. Glory. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the what? Oh man, grab hold of this. The truth that is in you just as you walk in truth. So if you're walking in truth, are they joyful? Yes, because reality is associated with eternal truth, isn't it? Listen, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that what? My children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Walking in reality. See, when you walk in reality, you will bear fruit of joy. Amen? Praise God. Let's go to Jude 1. Well, I guess there's only one. Jude. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Praise God. Verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with what? Exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever and ever. I'd like to go to Psalm 34 and close there. Okay, so we get God's presence by praise and worship, right? So in his presence, he's always trying to bring revelation to you. It's when you do not respond to the revelation brought by his presence that the reality, okay. So revelation is coming, which is going to open a door to reality, right? That's why Jesus is known as the door. So when his presence comes, he's trying to make contact. But if there's not revelation, is everybody with me? His presence comes and there's no contact. That's why people leave the presence of God miserable, because they really never entered in the presence of God. The presence of God was available for them, but they could not get in. Is everybody okay? So you people wonder, why, man, how come this person? Maybe because you didn't get revelation that opened the door to reality. See, when you challenge God, he'll challenge you. Show me what you have. And I'm telling you, people may not say that, but they have an attitude of that. Show me what you have. And you know what? He won't show you nothing until that person humbles himself and says, Lord, please reveal yourself to me. Make yourself real to me. I need to be encouraged. I need revelation that my joy may be restored in your presence. In other words, that I may be able to respond to your presence. Amen? And that's why we praise and worship. That's why there's a change of heart. Something begins to happen. We're getting revelation. And he's saying something to you. He's whispering something. There's a release. And when that comes, you allow that to bring a reality of an open door that says, I love you. I love you. See, you can't say I love you to God without him encouraging it. Does everybody understand that? But see, so many times we lose sight that it's him who's encouraging it. No man come to the Father unless you be drawn. So he gives the opportunity to be drawn. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. In Psalm 34 in verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at what? All times. Why? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why? So that his presence can always be there. In other words, he's always there before you then, just like David said. I see the Lord. I always see the Lord before me, and in his right hand his pleasures forevermore. In other words, in his right hand his provision. I won't lack anything, no matter what. It may seem like I'm lacking something, but I know I'm not. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, what does it say? I sought the Lord, and he what? Heard me. And delivered me from all of my what? Hallelujah. They looked at him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear, reverence, honor, and respect him, and delivers them. The angel that can kill 180,000 people encamps around those who reverence the Lord. Oh, taste, listen, oh, taste. You can't taste something unless it's close. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want or lack to those who reverence, honor, and respect him. Reverence, see, fear is associated with contact. It's no longer a fear of God killing you. It's a reverence, honor, and respect because you love him and you're loving him with joy because it's a response. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. In other words, God is not holding anything back from you. He's just waiting for you to get in his presence, receive revelation, reality, and respond with joy. Because you know that from his throne room, he's made contact with you. Amen? And everything. Wherever we are, you could be at a red light, and all of a sudden, man, I know that was from the Lord. I know. Whoa. And you have joy. So you're responding all the time. See, but if you're dull of hearing, if you're dull of seeing, because you're caught up in yourself, and you're trying to do things in your own strength, you will miss it. You will miss him trying to make contact with you. Has everybody got it? That's why we must stay in a surrendered mode, not a survival mode. Surrender. So that we can get in his presence and expect the unexpected. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Again, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And as we are partakers, we partake of the anointing, the inheritance, and the victory. The anointing, the inheritance, and the victory. And that always responds with joy. The reality of joy. It must become real to you. And when He is real to you, you respond with joy in everything. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. And I pray, Lord, tonight, that reality, relationship with the eternal truth, the eternal one, will become more and more real to Your people in this house tonight. And those that keep running from Your presence, that You'll lasso them and bring them in Your presence, that You'll visit them, establish them, encourage them, and restore them to Your presence, their first love, and their first words. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say